I'm really, really sorry about this, but hello, everybody. This is Buck with the RubberChickensBlog.com, and thank you for joining me for another episode of Buckshots. Today, we're going to talk about the 1997 Gamecock football season in our series. But before we get started, I want to go back to 96 for a minute. I forgot to talk about one thing that I meant to talk about. Going back to the Georgia game in which we won, really fun night. And there were a couple of guys on that team, and one of them in particular I want to talk about because I'm not sure over the next 4 years I'm going to be able to talk about him because we have such really bad teams. But I was with the G-Man watching the 96 game against Georgia in Williams-Brice, and there were these two guys playing defensive end that didn't start but came in, two lanky, skinny guys, one of them number 94, one of them number 95. 94 was a guy named Matt Marsters, who had a fairly solid career at South Carolina, but had a great night that first night, had a sack of Mike Bobo. And the other guy, number 95, was John Abraham. And I remember asking the G-Man, because he was, once Abraham got in the game, he was in the backfield all night long. And I asked G-Man, I said, who is this kid, 95? And G-Man tells me, well, he's John Abraham. He wasn't highly recruited, but the coaches think really highly of him. They think he's got a chance to be really special. And this was before Rivals and 24/7 and all of these websites and everything. And really the only recruiting news came from Phil Kornblut. And the G-Man was actually a recruiting guru back then. And he was all over John Abraham, and he called it that night. And Abraham had a great career on some really, really bad teams, and he's had a great NFL career. Actually, just today, as I'm recording this, signed with the Arizona Cardinals. He's in the twilight of his career, but has had just one of the better professional careers of any Gamecock football player ever. So I wanted to throw that in. I didn't want to leave John Abraham out of any of this because he is was a great, great football player at South Carolina and in the NFL. So we're going to move on to 1997, and I got to be honest with you, this is one of those years. I was actually transitioning my job. I was moving from North Augusta to Atlanta during the fall of 97, so I didn't get to as many games as I would have liked to, and honestly, I don't remember a lot about this season. I was at the season opener against Central Florida, and we beat them 33-31. I remember that being a very difficult game, and we actually beat them towards the end. Central Florida scored a touchdown with a little over 2 minutes left to close the gap to 33-31, so we had to run the clock out on them. But they had Dante Culpepper, who threw for 299 yards and three touchdowns. And it was one of those things where Central Florida at the time, we couldn't believe that Central Florida was hanging with us, which we would find over the next few years that anybody could pretty much hang with us. But so we open the season with a victory. We go to Athens the next week. I remember nothing about this game. It looks like apparently Georgia jumped out to a 31-6 lead at the half, and I'm looking at the program from that game, and Hines Ward is on the cover. Man, what a football player that guy turned out to be for Georgia. So anyway, Anthony Wright threw for 275 yards. Our leading rusher was Scott Moritz, which brings me back to the running back situation. Deuce Staley had graduated, and after Troy Hambrick's huge game against Clemson to end the 96 season, we thought he was going to be our 97 tailback stud. And he had 81 yards in the first game, but for some reason Scott Moritz was our leading rusher against Georgia. The following week, third game of the year, was at Greenville, North Carolina. It was the East Carolina game. And for whatever reason, me and the G-Man and a couple of friends of ours decided to make the road trip to Little Mogadishu up there. And their stadium was in the middle of some renovations, and we sat on some rickety bleachers. I mean, literally like high school bleachers in one of the end zones. And the one of their upper decks was under construction. And Greenville, North Carolina is just not a nice place. I'm not sure that anybody from Greenville, North Carolina is listening to this and will be offended, but it was, you know, compared to going to Knoxville and to Nashville and, you know, some of the other destinations that, that we've been to, this was not great. We wouldn't experience anything like this again until the PapaJohns.com Bowl, which we'll talk about later, which looked like a bombed out region of a third world country as well. But so we go into East Carolina and we're really afraid because of what East Carolina had done to us for a couple of years previous. But we go in and we shut them out, played a really good game. They ran up a lot of yards, but our defense played well, beat them 26-0. You know, nothing spectacular about us offensively. Troy Hambrick, 72 yards rushing. Anthony Wright, 137 yards and two touchdowns. ECU actually put up 447 yards of total offense, but just couldn't get the ball in the end zone. Following week, we come back to Columbia. I'm going to run through these next few because I, like I said, I have no recollection. Mississippi State beats us 37-17. Don't know how good a team Mississippi State had that year, but they handled us pretty easily there. Auburn comes to South Carolina. Remember the team that we haven't beaten since 1933. The following week and beat us 23-6. I do have a vague recollection that that may have been one of the worst offensive performances by a South Carolina team I've ever seen. We had 198 yards of total offense, including negative 3 yards rushing. So a rough day against Auburn. Come back the following week at home and beat Kentucky 38-24. And go to Little Rock the week after that and somehow beat Arkansas by 26 points, 39-13. Not sure, maybe Arkansas just wasn't that good that year. Again, just don't remember anything. Beat Vanderbilt the following week 35-3. So we're sitting at 5-3. This is such a typical South Carolina season throughout these years, throughout the 90s and even into the 2000s to some degree. Go to Tennessee. We've got the Orange Crush coming up. Go to Tennessee. And the season just falls apart. This was actually on the day that I moved to Atlanta. And we got there in time to get into our home and get a TV plugged up, and as we're moving things in, I didn't have cable hooked up, but the game was on a local channel, and the screen was kind of fuzzy, so I could make things out. And unfortunately, I was able to make out enough to see, I believe it was Al Wilson who tackled Anthony Wright, and just a terrible knee injury. I mean, you could tell the way his knee or his lower leg bent back that his knee was done. You know, it was nothing like a Marcus Lattimore type injury, but it was still one of those where when you saw it, you knew he was done and he was in a lot of pain. And that was just a terrible injury for the program, a terrible injury for Anthony Wright, who was having a pretty good season and still had another year to go. To get injured that late in the season was really bad, because that was a, you know, as always, that's a long recovery process for anybody when they tear their ACL. So we wind up dropping that game to Tennessee 22-7, and we're at 5-4. We've got Florida coming into town the following week. Again, just another great Florida team. Danny Werfel's gone, and we actually give these guys a run for their money for a while. And I think this is the game, I could be wrong, where we've got them pinned deep and they threw a ball to James Jackson and he was almost tackled in the end zone for a safety and broke loose for a huge gain. Somebody can correct me on that if I'm wrong. That may have been an earlier game, but anyway, Florida was only up 21-14 heading into the fourth quarter and just blew it open from there to win it 48-21. So here we are again, same situation as 96. We are 5-5 heading into the finale against Clemson. We have no Anthony Wright. Vic Penn is our starting quarterback. Sorry, I didn't mention that before. He was our quarterback against Florida as well, and the rest of the game against Tennessee after Anthony Wright was hurt. And Vic Penn actually, he threw for 191 yards and a couple of touchdowns against Florida, so we had some hope that maybe he could get the job done. So we get into the game, and we are just running all over Clemson. I'm not kidding you. We're running all over them in the first half. 14-3, we're up in the first quarter. I want to say, and I added this up not too long ago. I actually watched about a half of this game. I think Troy Hambrick's first five carries, he had over 100 yards and a couple of touchdowns. I mean, he busted loose for a couple of long touchdown runs. And we're up 14-3. I believe we're up 14-6. And we're driving the ball late in the second quarter. And I mean, just pounding them, running the ball, just very, very physical, in a very physical manner. And for anybody who remembers the Brad Scott era, remembers this play, and we're still just baffled by the call. He runs one of his trick plays, a reverse. It was going to be some kind of a reverse. The ball was mishandled, and Clemson recovered, and we were at least going to get a field goal out of this. So you consider we would be up probably 17-6 at the half. So Clemson gets the ball back with about 2 minutes, a little over 2 minutes left. They drive down, score a touchdown, make the score 14-13 at the half, and all the air is out of the stadium at that point because of that call. In the second half, Vic Penn throws a pick six to Antoine Edwards, and that was pretty much the game. They wind up beating us 47-21. Vic Penn was not to be heard from again at the University of South Carolina. He transferred after that year to Central Florida, where he went on to have a couple of decent years, if I remember correctly. But just a game that looked like we were really in control, and it just, when it went south, it went way south. So we finished the season 5-6 after a 6-5, which was after a 4-6-1, which was after our first bowl victory. So obviously the program is not skyrocketing to the top under Brad Scott. We are treading water with very average football teams. But oh my goodness, we are about to head into the wilderness in 1998. And we will get to that next time on Buckshots. T-Bone's going to fill in and tell us about the 98 season. 98 and 99 are dark times, my friends. Dark, dark times. But we're going to talk about them anyway, because that's what we do. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next time on Buckshots. If you wanna be my lover, you gotta get with my friends. Make it last forever. Friendship never ends. If you wanna be my lover, you have got to give. Taking is too easy, but that's the way it is. So here's a story from A to Z. You wanna get with me, you gotta listen carefully. We got M in the place, who likes it in your face. You got G like MC, who likes it on an easy V. Who doesn't come for free, she's the real lady. And as for me, it's too easy, but that's the way it is. If you want
like ah. If you wanna be my lover.